May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts bring glory to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As we celebrate the baptism of Jesus Christ, we suddenly are exploring the incarnation and sanctification of all humanity, the gift of God's love to the world, his Son, Jesus Christ. It is an important day, and it is seldom truly understood in its full impact, both theologically, pastorally, as well as from an exegetical perspective. But let me begin in this way. Yesterday was the Saturday afternoon walk in the wilderness. I noticed by the time we got into the bush yesterday that I had no cookies in case I got lost. There was no bottle of water. This was going to be a rough afternoon. We walked for the longest time, and I don't think we understood that when a lot of people are walking on a path, it not only pounds down the snow, but it ices over and becomes extremely slippery. Now, this particular bush has a series of ups and downs, and that you're supposed to be a little bit cautious where your feet are, unless you would like to do what is familiar in some other traditions as carpet time, which means you're flat on your back looking at the ceiling, or in the bush, flat on your back on the ice, looking up at the clouds. We walked for a really long time. We had to leave the path several times. Too icy, too slippery, too dangerous to walk on. Walking on the edge of the paths in new territory. And after about an hour and a half, we came to a spot that was rather unusual. There were two directions to go. One was fairly well trodden, and the other a little less, but I've got to tell you the truth, a lot of people had taken the path. The problem is that it was a fork in the road, so to speak, and there was a huge sign on one of the trees. And the huge sign said, "Keep out." We were on the edge of the farmer's property. The signal was clear. The message was clear. But it didn't stop a lot of folks. That path was fairly well trodden as it went past the sign onto his property as a shortcut for everybody traveling. The metaphor is pretty clear, isn't it? That sometimes the path in the wrong direction is well trodden. It looks like it's safe. It looks like it's okay. It looks like we have permission to cross the line. But we don't. And there are natural consequences that come from that. I would dare say to you that at the Capitol in the United States of America in Washington, D.C., we saw exactly that in the past week. Isn't it easy for the preacher to be able to distract you by, let's talk about somebody else somewhere else? But that's not what the gospel is about today. The gospel is actually about the individual choices every single one of us make. But let's start with the motivation of the baptism of Jesus. The motivation of the baptism is God's love for Christ and for humanity. The actual event starts with what some would consider a freak. Others would consider just a radical personality on the edge of society. He dresses strange, he eats strange, he seems to talk strange. Watch for the quiet radicals. They tend to bring good news. Oh, we know what the loud radicals do. We get to see those on a regular basis in our society. But the quiet ones, the ones who speak into the wilderness, can be a voice of God's blessing and God's love to humanity. And that's exactly what John was trying to do. That doesn't mean that he didn't meet with hostility. As a matter of fact, there was a whole lot of political and religious leaders that informed John that he had stepped over the line and that they weren't impressed. And he said some kind of thing to them that most of us aren't supposed to use in this building. And then he went ahead with God's work. And he invited people to make a change. They were ready to make a change. There was a socioeconomic, political, and financial crisis in their land. They were desperate. They were ready to make a change, which is usually when you and I are ready to make a change, when things have become extremely uncomfortable. It's sort of that pain-pleasure principle. What do we want more? What do we need more? And what are we prepared to risk in order to do that? It asks a deeper question, though, doesn't it? Because John the Baptist invited everyone to be baptized for the repentance of their sin. And repentance actually means turning in a new direction. So here's the question of our society. If I'm invited to move in a new direction, do I have to totally turn, or can I sort of halfway turn? Can I turn in some ways but not in other ways? Can I pick and choose what repentance might look like? It's where we get into a great deal of difficulty in our relationships. Saying you're sorry is saying you're sorry. No option. Moving forward in a new direction is a brand new direction. So to the glory of God, John was able to convince a large crowd to be baptized for the repentance of their sin, and there was a brand new beginning for hundreds, if not thousands, of people that day. And then, of course, Jesus shows up. Now, there's more theological questions about why Jesus showed up than you can possibly imagine. Was this the moment of adoption, or had the Christ always been the Christ from the beginning of creation? What's more important than that question is this one. Why did God do it? And I offer to you that this was a message of love to his son and to all of humanity. That's a big deal. That is critically important. A matter of fact, the most significant image in all of this is that the skies opened. That boundary between earth and heaven was split open. And there was a revelation of God's extraordinary love for his son and for humanity in the moment of baptism. What is baptism for us in today's contemporary culture? Sometimes we say that when babies arrive in church, although we're ecstatic to see them, our fear is that we'll never see them again. There is a contemporary phrase that it's a little uncomfortable. It's called the splash and dash. We see the child and the family once and once only, and they're gone. That's not what's meant to be. It's meant to be the beginning of a healthy and long-lasting relationship between the family and the congregation. So what about families that decide that they're going to wait until the child can make their own decision? I understand that. I also wonder if maybe our teenagers should be able to decide when they'd like to drive, you know, whatever age, when they'd like to vote, whatever age, when they'd like to stay out or come home, whatever age. Clearly, that's not how our kids were raised, and I think they still hold us against us because there were rules and regulations, expectations, and provision of guidance and direction in things that we thought were really important. Just something to think about. Just something to think about. The most important thing about today is God's love for his son. Loved him so much to name him, to provide him with a official public beginning of his ministry, to acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit in him and in us. And that we are given that same gift of a baptism with the power of the Holy Spirit in us to provide us with guidance and direction for our lives. Baptism is a huge celebration of a clean slate, a new beginning, an opportunity to be included in the community. Whether you choose to have a child baptized as an infant or later in life, when collectively the family decides it's the right time, let me assure you that in this place, it is an extraordinary celebration of God's love for us. Amen.